and Tomasi. It's Alex Reamer and John Tomasi on Sports Radio WEEI.
Now this is good.
Okay, now that certain things are legal in Massachusetts, if you've never done the whole Wizard of Oz thing with this, it totally works. It's
what the
freakiest
Wizard of Oz
thing ever.
Please explain.
So the Wizard of Oz is when the lion roars at the start of Wizard of Oz, if you hit play on Dark Side of the Moon, the music matches up to what's happening on screen in freakish ways. It lasts for like 45 minutes. It's insane. Like, Half an hour into the movie, and I don't remember the order of tracks in the song, but like, I think for this one with the heartbeat is right when she's putting Dorothy puts her head on the Tin Man's chest. Like, it matches up. Songs end when scenes end. It is the freakiest thing you'll ever see. But it works better if you are partaking in the newly legal substances that back in my day weren't necessarily.
Right. You just read about all this, of course.
I read about it. Yes. I've never tried it, but I've read about it. It did not blow my mind and have me seeing colors or anything
Pink
like
Floyd.
That.
That's right.
I kind of want to let it go until the music starts so you can sing.
Take on the dark days.
Right? I'll turn
something
on
like
Wizard
that,
of Oz,
something
too.
Somewhat like that at all.
Close enough. Ticking close away. Enough. The moments that make up a dull day.
Here you go. I got the right tune.
Yes.
There it is. Yeah.
Frittering waste the hours in offhand way. That's what we're doing now. I want to get to Time Lord,
I have
though.
Great music recollection outside of, I can't remember lyrics, tunes, artists.
Song titles.
It's great.
You know what? I don't want to get off on a tangent too much.
No.
Okay, so our boss, Bradfo.
Okay.
He's the only person I know. I have no idea if he likes music or what music he like. There's like everybody, like, for the people on the Red Sox beat, you know, oh, Ian Brown likes Pink, you know, Rolling Stones, yeah. Classic rock, whatever.
You like
these
metal?
Guys might like rap. I like metal. Somebody likes country. I have no idea. Bradfo is asexual when it comes to music. He does not listen.
What does he listen to?
I have no idea.
When he runs.
I think he listens to podcasts.
When he
runs? Loves documentaries. I think he listens. He watches documentaries. Maybe podcasts, maybe the Bradfo show. I don't know.
I listen to my own stuff.
I don't.
I have a drive up to New Hampshire tonight. I'll be listening to some Reamer and Tomasi. It'd be a great job, Alex. Wow,
I will not lie. Occasionally, if I say something, if there's like some segment that I thought, oh, I think that was pretty good on the morning show, I'll listen back just to see if it actually was. And usually it was like, oh, yeah, I thought that was funny.
It sounds better the second
but
time.
Then
like,
there,
oh,
but then there are times when you're like, oh, God, I thought that was funny. That was awful.
No, I was listening to some of the show yesterday. I was like, wow, I was so annoying in this segment, that segment. Yes. But usually I'll be like, oh, that was great. Wow. I am getting really good at this. Says me. Just getting so great at this.
All right. Well, speaking of your greatness,
please, yes.
I think I need to educate our listeners. So first of all, Robert Williams, Celtics rookie. Off to kind of a weirdly interesting start where he's blocking shots left and right. Now, he's probably hunting them a little bit at this point, but he had 5 last night in about 15 minutes. He gets off the floor probably faster or more quickly than any player in the NBA. His nickname is Time Lord. And
okay, now why is that his nickname? When did it start?
Yeah, so Scal has been using it on the broadcast. He even got Mike Gorman to drop one. Oh. Everyone's talking Time Lord. And I was vaguely aware of it, and it was one of those things where I'm like, why does everyone keep calling this guy Time Lord? And so eventually I looked it up, and I was like, oh, this is dumb. He's called Time Lord because he had that just, like, epidemic of sleeping through everything. At the start of his Celtics career. He slept through, like, a press conference.
His first conference call he missed.
Yeah, he slept through it. He missed a flight.
His first flight back to Boston he missed as well.
Yeah, and I think he was late for a practice as well. I think there were 3 of them.
He was.
And so people got a little bit up in arms about this. You use a first-round pick on this kid, and he can't even be professional enough to wake up. And I sympathize with that. There's a part of me that respects that, to be honest, because I would love to sleep through my work responsibilities. And some people would argue that I do from about 6 to 7:40 on
if we're being precise.
Random mornings.
Especially when we talk Patriots. You know, Tomasi tells me he doesn't want to talk Patriots. He only wants to know about Trump.
That's actually true. So anyway.
Yeah, doesn't care.
So now Time Lord becomes a thing. Danny Ainge goes on our neighbors formerly in this building and says that he hates the nickname and that he wishes he was called Lot
Why
Williams.
Does he hate the nickname?
He's like, we can do better.
Because it glorifies his tardiness?
Yeah. So anyway, this has led to, you know, Celtics Twitter, which is weird in its own little subculture as you roll your eyes.
I'm
burying the lead.
It's an aside. We'll get to it. I don't understand any Twitters. I don't like any team Twitters. Celtics Twitter is so weird to me. It's like these people I imagine in darkened basements in the wee hours of the morning watching watching the Kings on the League Pass, these obscure West Coast games.
They should be watching the Kings.
And you're one of them.
Yeah.
You're one of
these Kings
people.
Are the 8th seed right now, and that's annoying because that was supposed to be a top 5 pick, and I think if the season ended today, it would be like 21 or something like that.
I would say that Celtics Twitter and NBA Twitter in general is the most kiss-ass of all the sports Twitters.
But it's not even like, you know what, I don't even think it's that, because like Patriots Twitter, for instance, is defiant.
But Patriots Twitter is like...
Okay, so that's its own thing. Like, every single person has either 5 rings or a 12 jersey.
And they're all wearing... I imagine them all wearing Brewski jerseys as they type out their responses with, like, a barbecue sauce stains.
So NBA and Celtics Twitter, to me, is much more sort of happy and positive. It's not even ass-kissing. It's just like... I feel like they don't generally get up in arms if people don't like a player or like the team. It's more about just how much they love the team.
I'd have more fun hanging out with Celtics Twitter than Patriots Twitter, to be sure.
that is a fair game. Me too.
So I feel like we could have some laughs. I feel like we align politically, you know, same politics as Celtics and Patriots Twitter. Nope.
Patriots Twitter, not a lot in common. I'm not a big.
They don't like you?
I'm not one of their favorites. So anyway, so Celtics Twitter. So I'm burying the lead. So I go and I'm just trying to read up on Time Lord. And the whole idea of it is Tom Westerholm from Mass Live interviewed the guy, Ryan Ebert, I don't know how to say his name, who is one of the weird Celtics Twitter people. He's funny. Like, a lot of these guys are funny.
How much does that pay if you're a weird Celtics Twitter person?
Nothing. It's just joy.
A hobby.
So you get paid in joy.
It's like what I got paid when I did Big Show Unfiltered.
Yeah. It's what you're going to get paid in your new contract. To continue doing the morning show. So... he talks to this guy who explains that Time Lord arose partly from people being like old, white, out of touch media people just being so up in arms. So a kid overslept, big deal. It's not the end of the world.
Haven't you overslept?
Haven't you ever overslept? And so when Boston.com is aggregating this and writing it, the example that they use that I imagine worked its way around Celtics Twitter is a WEEI.com headline. And when I read it, I was like, oh, I must have written this. I was really excited. And so you hover over one of our links, and it will say the writer's name, and I immediately see Reamer, and I was like, damn it. The headline is Robert Williams Celtics career off to worst start imaginable.
And it was.
Like, it was unprofessional to sleep through all that stuff. And, I mean, he didn't kill anyone, so I guess it wasn't the worst start imaginable.
I mean, sure.
But it was pretty bad, and... By the way, all you Celtics, weird Celtics Twitter weird Celtics Twitter people who are just like, no one has a sense of humor. They're taking this way too seriously. Do you think Alex Reamer recently turned 26 years old, I believe?
Do you
think Alex Reamer really think... Worst start imaginable. Do you think he's stomping around his apartment in Brighton, like just so angry,
pants.
Like, you know, calling the station, we need to do something on this Robert Williams? No, he doesn't take it any more seriously than the rest of you idiots.
Thank you.
But you're so, like, precious in your weird Celticsness that you can't acknowledge.
This is universal. We can expand this conversation to make it beyond Celtics people. People in general, everybody, basically, sports fans in general. No, really, though. I mean... Like, yeah, we're just having some fun with it. You know, my lead. Celtics first round pick Robert Williams. So it's like the idea of spending his winter in May in Maine.
I love that.
His run of absences seems destined to ensure him a spot in the Red Claws before summer league even begins. Like, I'm so angry. Yeah, rawr.
Yeah, so like DJ Bean was tweeting me last night because I said, I think the Time Lord, and I'm with Ainge, I think Time Lord is stupid. It's derivation is about his lack of professionalism. Why would you want to be known for that?
Nothing matters, man. Like, who
cares? Yeah, so he's like, it's mocking people who take bleep too seriously. How could you possibly think it's stupid? Listen, DJ Bean, I will slap that stupid hipster mustache right off your face. So, and like, and the other thing too is like Time Lord, the whole idea of it, I believe, is it's supposed to be an in joke. And when Timex is looking to sponsor it, which is the clip that we played earlier,
right,
it's probably not an in joke anymore. Weird Celtics Twitter, do you want Timex sponsoring your Weird Celtics Twitter?
The brands are now on it. Nope.
Come on. Time to move on. I actually like Lob Williams. Danny, I'm with you.
Yes, how about Block Williams, because he has lots of blocks.
Block Williams isn't bad either.
Yeah, there you go. We're spitballing here. Yeah, it's just, yeah. But you see this all across the board. Like, oh, nothing matters. Like, all right, how about you get a job then, and you sleep through your first three commitments?
Yeah,
it'd be a pretty big deal, right?
I've tried it. It doesn't go well.
It doesn't go so well. So the other thing that was a huge story on social media this week, and we talked about it a lot on our airwaves, is the whole Red Sox broadcast thing. I don't want to go through the whole song and dance again, but we do have a few minutes here. One thing I just want to say, and I wrote about it. I dug deep into my Rolodex in the media column this week. I called up Joe Zarbano, Lou Maloney. I mean, I don't know how I was able to get these numbers.
You got all these people. My favorite part of that story was told WEEI.com by phone.
By phone, yes.
How'd you get these numbers?
Unbelievable.
You're connected.
I'm a great, great journalist. Yes, yeah, so Joe Castig, I didn't have his number, so sorry, Joe Castig. You were not asked for comment. But not turning the broadcast into a talk radio show, not happening. We're looking for more conversation, a little more laughs. I know you were a big Never defender on the morning show this week. You called him Vin Scully reincarnated, which I thought, okay,
pretty
John.
Close.
I mean,
Vin Scully's still alive, so that was weird, but yeah.
True. <It's, laughs> I mean, you were saying, you know, you wanted him to be on the get rid of O'Brien. I mean, it was really a staunch defense from you this week. But just in general, I feel like all the freak out over this was just so disingenuous. I mean, everybody, just take a step back, okay? I know you hate WEEI, you hate some of the show. Yeah, I get that. Fine. We're evil, we're mean.
Yeah, I get it. I hate it too,
right, so it's fine. Right. Everyone who works here hates it. We all get that. But really, you really think that somebody sat around and said, you know what we need to do to the Red Sox broadcast? Turn it into Kirk and Callahan. Yeah, we're going to have bits. We're going to have callers. Like, the Kirk Minahan show is actually going to debut during Red Sox broadcast, not midday Red Sox broadcast. Like, you people really thought this was a possibility? We were going to have three hosts, casting couch drama. One of the Globe articles, it said, yeah, there's going to be some of that palace intrigue stuff that's made its way to all the shows. Like, yeah, we're going to have Joe Castig have rotating color guys in your
party time. Right,
there's going to be infighting between Kevin Millar and Lou and Johnny Gomes. I mean, that's exactly what it's going to be. Really? Like, people really thought that it was going to get turned into Albert in Rhode Island. Albert, let me tell you about passes in the air, Joe. Okay, thank you very much. I mean, really?
Yeah. You can't have a Hall of Fame broadcaster who has a very recognizable style over the last 35 years and then say, yeah, Joe Castig is going to be the ringleader of the casting couch.
Albert in Rhode Island, Albert.
He's going to be talking about Deflategate. Like, that stuff is not happening.
What is wrong with you people? Honestly, is what I have to say. What? And yeah, you'd like your analyst to give a little opinion. Watch any sporting event. Troy Aikman, Thursday night game, was giving his opinions. Is that a good call, a bad call? That's what we mean. Bob Greasy got me in touch with the great Bob Greasy this week. What did he do on the Gronk play, the Miracle in Miami? Gave his opinion. He was doing a talk show, in a sense, for those 10, 15 seconds. That's what we're looking for. And that just seems so self-explanatory to
me. Yeah, and like, you know, for instance, the Celtics broadcast with Grandy and Max, like, I think they do a good job of being
Max
conversational.
Max has his opinions.
And exactly.
He's a character.
And it doesn't mean that you're talking about the latest, you know, atrocity by Trump or anything like
Coming
that.
Coming up next, headlines.
Save that for 6 to 10. But yeah, you can do a broadcast. And I've done, granted, only spring training broadcasts and random fifth innings with Joe.
Right.
But you can have a conversation with Joe. You can have a perfectly good back and forth with Joe. So this is not like, oh, you know, what are we getting? We're asking the Joe Castiglione to change how he broadcasts a game. No, he can do it the same way. And you just want somebody in there next to him who you can have a conversation. When he was in there with Dave O'Brien, it was more conversational. It can be conversational. That's what we're looking for. I think we've done ourselves a disservice by occasionally, even internally, floating it needs to be more like a talk show. Well, then you open yourself
it's
up
clumsily,
to that criticism.
It's clumsily worded.
Exactly.
And just, listen, you never, oh, they want me to be more like a talk show host. And that circles its way around. And that's what we
I like
this,
how every angry person in Reamerville is Jerry.
Basically.
All jerk.
Angry and old.
Angry. Any angry old person sounds exactly like
yes,
Jerry Callahan.
Exactly. Exactly. It's just ridiculous.
Can you believe this?
Base is loaded.
I love
thing.
That call.
What?
That call, can you believe this? That was the, I don't know which game that
was. He says it every time. What do you mean?
No, no, no. He says, can you believe it? But that particular call, can you believe this? Like, it might have been the Brandon Phillips homer.
If you're an astute Castiglione listener, you picked that up.
Yeah, Castigophile.
Yes. The two bases loaded, two outs. Mookie Betts at the plate. But first, let's go to homeless Kevin. Kevin. Like, I mean, people really.
Where are you watching? Where are you listening to the game, Kevin?
Like, people, like,
I'm in a cardboard box.
I'm sure. Hey, Mutt. I mean, another tough game, a tough week at the casino for you, huh?
Probably
Alex, how's your Montreal trip?
I mean, it doesn't have to go there.
I mean, come on, guy. The idiocy. We're surrounded by you. It's Tomasi. Yeah. Present company definitely included in that, at least in my case. Chris is in the car. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Hey, Alex, shame on you for letting Tomasi go on for as long as he did on that ridiculous rant about a story that you wrote. Holy cow.
He was defending me. I'm under siege, Chris. I'm under attack.
Oh, God. He is so much better from 6 to 7:40 in the morning. God.
That's when I'm quietest. You're right.
Yeah, I really appreciate that time of my day. Today, just...
What was your issue with it then?
My God, it was just the worst segment possibly I've heard from either one
but
of
But you felt two. Moved to call about it, so maybe it
I
wasn't
did.
That bad.
I never called.
Maybe, Chris, it was so bad it was good.
Why did you...
yeah, that's possible.
So you don't have an opinion on Celtics Twitter is what you're saying?
And you know what? Reamer, you probably noticed that Reamer changed the subject to the broadcast because he knew I was going to do that for another 20 minutes.
And it's weird.
And we were gonna lose.
Thank God. I mean, someone had to. One of the producers had to be like, for God's sakes, knock it off.
So you agree? So you are a Robert Williams fan or not, Chris? It's the crux of it.
Who the hell is that?
Thanks, brother.
There's the
Chris, call line. More often. That's what I have to say to that.
I recognize Chris. He's called before. He's full of it.
Chris is good. He's good. I know.
He loved it. He just
know
doesn't
what?
Know
that
Robert
was something,
Williams.
Sometimes you got to scratch that itch.
Yeah.
You got to scratch that itch. And as I told a BU journalism student, did a profile on me recently.
Oh, he just texted me today. So did that thing come out?
He did, yes. It got hot off the presses, yes.
All right, I haven't read it yet.
Yes, you're quoted three words. You have three words in the story.
Is that it?
Congratulations, yes.
But well, as I talked to him for like 20 minutes. Well, I gave him good stuff.
Well, there was a lot of good stuff. Sorry, John. You were competing with, you know, Kirk and Jerry and all these
That's
people.
Fair.
You know, Jerry wasn't quoted either, so he was happy about that too. But as I told him, though, you know, the best talk radio is a segment you're passionate about. Doesn't matter what you're talking about. Just
exactly.
Got to be passionate about
exactly.
It. You're passionate about these Twitter weirdos. You know, you're part of Red Sox Twitter, kind of. You check
I mean,
in.
I tweet about the Red Sox.
You tweet about the Red Sox. Yeah. I'm not part of any Twitter. I don't have many friends, but I have like two, and that's what I do. I spend my time
I mean,
with
you
them,
could be Kirk
Twitter,
and Callie.
So.
You should be a parody account of your own.
There is a parody account of mine.
No, you should
be
your
my own,
own
parody. I kind of am sometimes. When I tweeted that if the Red Sox is at the White House, they're dead to me, that was me being my own parody account, kind of.
But not a parody, because that was real.
Right, exactly. Yeah, still dead. We need people to pull out. When are we going to... That's what I want you to put you and Bradford to work on. Called call every player on the Red Sox.
That's my job.
And
we'll
let's
get to,
see.
We'll get, believe me, we'll get to that one in spring training.
Let's see.
That'll
what are we going or are we not, training. Boys? What are we doing? 617-779-7937. We'll be right back.
Back to Alex Reamer and John Tomasi on Sports Radio WEEI.
People step to the right to pitch. Swinging a line drive left field. Benintendi coming on. Dives. And did he make the catch? He did. He got it. The Red Sox win.
That clip has not been played enough with all the broadcast talk we've had the last few days.
Seriously, that was like a talk show. That was like Kirk laying someone out and knocking him off his chair.
Yeah,
or throwing something off. At Mutt. Or Mutt like nailing him in the eye.
A little faster school zone.
That's humor. There you go. Some laughs, some yucks. Are you throwing your hat in the ring for the full-time Red Sox job?
I am done traveling.
Home games.
I do like the hours. I like the late hours. Those are my hours, the night hours.
I know,
but
you are.
That's about it.
Yeah. Well, you've done some color stints.
This is
though.
Like the beauty of being a baseball writer for most of my career. Like, I texted another baseball writer at 1:45 this morning and got a response immediately. Because it's like we're all up. We don't. None of
Me
us go
too.
To bed.
I'm up all the time, too.
Yeah.
I don't sleep, though, which I think is the difference between me and you.
I love sleep.
You sleep in mornings.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you're 40.
That's true. There you go, John. Young bucks like us.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm always up really late. It's my favorite time to be up.
Yeah.
The whole world is yours.
The world's asleep. You're awake.
What's going on?
You got your PlayStation, whatever.
That's when I watch the best of Maddow. What does she have to say about Manafort and Flynn? Let's go. Cohen sentencing.
It'll be 20 minutes before we get to the point, but those 20 minutes will be so educational.
I can't believe you don't really like Maddow.
I'm not a big fan of the,
she's
like,
great.
To me, she's, and this is not fair because at least her stuff is rooted in fact, but to me, she comes across as a little bit of the left-wing conspiracy theorist.
Why? She backs up all her stuff with facts,
articles. She backs
articles
her stuff up.
From real
she
publications.
She backs her stuff up. I'm not saying that, but it's like everything is like, and who is Sergei Deplakal, whatever? Like
a Russian oligarch.
Russian oligarch who, and how did he make his money? He made it in, you know, plastics.
And it all ties back to Trump.
It always comes back, yeah.
It all comes back to him. No, that's
a Russian oligarch.
I love that drop. It's one of my favorite drops.
But how many times has she said that? Like 1,000.
She turned out to be correct, more correct.
Oh,
I'm
not saying she's wrong, but it's just like it's a little exhausting for me.
A little bit, yeah. Chris Hayes has a good program.
What I like is I would like the talking points boiled down to one page with bullet points and maybe some pictures.
Like Trump.
Yeah, exactly. it's like his CIA briefings. That's what I want.
The WEI.com summary. There it is. That's what we do.
That's what we do for the people out there. So you know what? I have a question for you.
Okay.
A sports question for you.
Oh, good.
Patriots.
Uh-oh.
So as we've watched this season unfold, you know, with the 1-2 start and then all the wins and then just bad losses, Detroit, Tennessee, obviously last week, and we still don't have a handle on where this team ends up. You know, like they could win a Super Bowl. This certainly doesn't feel like a Super Bowl year. So I'm going to ask Alex Reamer to look into the crystal ball. Where does this season end? Does it end in the Super Bowl? Does it end in the AFC title game? Does it end with a first-round upset? Because I feel like all three of those possibilities are, like, equal.
It ends on the road in the AFC title game against the Los Angeles Chargers.
I still call them San Diego. I love that Aikman had the thing.
Los Angeles Chargers. I would do the same thing.
Yeah, that was smart because I'm going to still call them San Diego.
I'm on the Chargers bandwagon. Boom. There we go. They went out. Then the Patriots have to lose to get the one seed, though, right? Because under my scenario...
No, you're saying they lose at San Diego.
But if the Chargers went out and the Patriots went out and the Chiefs lose a game...
Well, the Chargers only have three losses, so they're... Right? So they're going... They would be the number one seed no matter what.
Right. So, yeah, there you go.
If they went out. So, yeah, you could lose at San Diego.
Yep, there you go. At San Diego.
I was there the last time they played at
San Diego. At Los Angeles, rather.
That was the Troy Brown game where the Chargers had the game-ending interception and Troy Brown stripped it because the idiot was trying to return it.
Right, right.
And they come back and they win that game. And that game was notable for the fact that standing outside, and I think I'm remembering this properly, standing outside the Patriots locker room was like the tallest, most beautiful person I'd ever seen in my life. Not Kareem. It's the tallest, most beautiful woman I'd ever seen in my life, Giselle. Who wanted to meet Tom Brady. I think that might have been the day they actually met.
And you were there.
And I was there.
So you're taking credit for
I
it.
Was
there
part
you
of
go,
Patriot.
John Tomasi taking credit for
matchmaker.
The Brady-Giselle
I didn't know who she was,
marriage.
But it was like, oh my God, I didn't know. Never seen a person who looks like that in person.
So yeah, I think it could. I think it, yeah, I'm going to at Chargers. That's my pick right there.
Okay.
And do you know what the Chargers of last. Well, how about you? Let's start with you first. For all ties to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so I need to look up. They're the 2 seed right now, so they would be hosting. Yeah, I think they'll win in the first round. So I'm going to say the same. No, I can't do it. I cannot do it. I can't say that they're going to lose to Kansas City. They're not going to lose to an Andy Reid coach team.
So you're going to the Super Bowl.
They are not going. So they're going to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
That is my prediction. I think they're going to lose the Super Bowl.
You're just crapping on them last hour.
No, but I mean, look at the AFC. So they're going to have to get by whoever in the first round at home. They're going to win their home playoff game, whoever it is. And then they're going to be in the AFC title game, and it's going to be at Kansas City is my prediction. And they cannot lose to Andy Reid. They just cannot. He will blow the game at the end somehow, some way. You heard it here. Patriots going back to the Super Bowl where they're going to lose to the Rams or the Saints or whoever.
Huzzah! That's a hard prediction. They're going to the Super Bowl and they'll lose against whoever.
Yeah,
I like it.
Whoever gets there, they're going to lose to.
I like it. I was going to say that to go back to the Tomlin conversation and why he deservedly is getting some heat right now. The Chargers of last decade are very similar to the Steelers post-2010. That team loaded. You had a young Philip Rivers, LT, Vincent Jackson, Sean Merriman, you know, Seau when he was alive and with us.
Yep, that was key to his success at that point. Yep.
Sean Phillips just had a really good, great talent up and down that roster and could never break through. Eric Weddle, yes, of course. They had a great white receiver. Who I'm blanking. Tim Dwight.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a little before.
He ended up
that, was like early 2000s. Yeah. But still, that Chargers team is very analogous to Steelers post-2010. A very talented roster that cannot get past the Patriots. And every year, Norv Turner, Schottenheimer, whoever was calling the shots there, was getting killed. Same standard should apply to Tom.
Can we agree that the Chargers have a very different approach to head coach now? I mean, you saw what happened, what Lynn did just the other night, we're going for it to two, and there was no hesitation. It's like, we're winning this game.
But why
right
is
now.
That good? So why is that great, though? You still play overtime, right? Like, it's great because it worked out, but...
Well, you eliminate the possibility of overtime. And because they were 5-for-7 on two-point conversions at that point, so if you say your odds of winning in overtime are 50-50, we believe that our odds are 75%. So we're going to take the better odds now.
And they must have known that Andy Reid was going to blow it somehow, which he did. They didn't call timeouts. Mike Williams was wide open in the end zone. Nobody was around him.
Oh, so good. So good. And they just showed, like, they showed the exact play and how all the defense went one way. And
basically, it was a repeat of Williams' first touchdown of the game.
And they said that. It was the same play, just on the opposite
side. That's another matchup. We're going to the X's and O's, my hypothetical AFC title game. Patriots, how are they going to stop? Keenan Allen's healthy. Mike Williams, Terrell Williams, there were some big playmaking receivers from the Chargers. Travis Benjamin is real fast, caught a couple of, I think he caught the big fourth down Rivers completion that you were referencing earlier. So that Chargers, tough matchups. It just seems like a
don't
team,
forget Hunter Henry.
Do not sleep on Hunter Henry. And the Patriots do not have a linebacker the caliber of Derek Johnson in coverage. You can keep up with him. So
yeah, these are all fair questions.
There you go. 617-779-7937, Reamer and Tomasi. We roll on right after this.
Back to Alex Reamer and John Tomasi on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, turn current radio. Time for us to unleash our true selves. Jerry Callahan, very angry. Our good friend Jerry Callahan, I should say, John.
Definitely.
Tucker Carlson in hot water again. Pacific Life Company, which I guess is an insurance company. Pulled ads from the Tucker Carlson show yesterday after Tucker Carlson's latest anti-immigration rant.
Just the greatest hits.
Playing the greatest hits. Do we have it, John? Do you have it ready to go? Okay, so I'm sure this will be a huge topic all week long in the morning show. One of many huge topics. So John and I were getting out in front of it. This is the service that we do. Here's Tucker Carlson last night. This is the latest thing that's gotten him in hot water.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Here's a funny thing that we noticed the other day. People debate all the time about mass immigration. What you never hear anybody do is make the economic case for mass immigration. But as an economic matter, this is insane. It's indefensible, so nobody even tries to defend it. Instead, our leaders demand that you shut up and accept this. We have a moral obligation to admit the world's poor, they tell us, even if it makes our own country poorer and dirtier and more divided. Huddled masses yearning to breathe free? Nope. Cynical shakedown artists who've been watching too much CNN.
Tucker Carlson is brought to you by Pacific Life, protecting generations of families for 150 years.
Great
That's
job.
The
Sorry,
power of Pacific.
Jer. Great job. Okay, so of course the problematic line there is immigrants make our country poorer and dirtier. Dirtier.
Playing to the base.
That's the issue. Saying that even when you're that's a rant against brown people coming across the southern border. That's what that's about. So Pacific Life pulls ads from the show. As a company, we strongly agree with Mr. Carlson's statements. our customer base and our workforce reflect the diversity of our great nation, something we take great pride in. We will not be advertising a Mr. Carlson show in the coming week as we reevaluate our relationship with his program. Jerry Callahan, of course, Tucker said nothing.
Tucker Carlson is brought to you by Pacific Life.
Oh, that's our guy, too, the voiceover.
Ah, he makes make a lot of money.
I know.
Good checks. Mob gets another pound of flesh. Pacific Life should be ashamed.
The mob. I love it. We're the angry mob.
I told Jerry a couple weeks, either we're the snowflakes or we're the mob.
What are we?
We can't be both. I would just say with this, I mean, it's number one, he's wrong. I mean, there's numerous studies that show that immigrants actually help the economy a lot and pay a lot more in tax money.
It depends if your view is, do they come here to be on the dole or do they undertake this life-changing journey to better themselves? And doesn't it take, like, an entrepreneurial spirit to get over here to begin with?
I always tell Jerry, spend a day as an undocumented immigrant and tell me how luxurious their life is. I mean, my goodness. It'd make the trick. Oh, they're living on the dole. Wake up at noon. Them and play-by-play and afternoon hosts.
Them and Rob Williams.
The cushiest.
We should call them Time Lords. They're all Time Lords.
Yeah, but it's just, I mean, look, I'm not in favor of the angry mob. As someone who said stupid things on the air, I am not in favor of the angry mob. Right, and you've never made an error.
Nope.
I am not in favor of the angry mob, obviously, but this is the free market, and companies can decide whether or not they want to be associated with somebody who says immigrants make our country dirty. And in the past has said worse. I mean, in September, remember, diversity, not exactly our strength.
Not our strength. Yeah, I got to argue that one with the long snapper. And it was like, how did my life turn into this that I am arguing this with a former long snapper about the value of diversity?
Wait, Steve DiAssi?
Yes.
Like, when you did a show with DiAssi?
We did a morning show.
Okay.
And it was just like, the arguments were great. It was me saying something like, well, you know, we could make a better effort to...
What
to,
is this, John, to, by the way?
What are we hearing? Is this the angry mob?
Okay.
I think it's the angry mob. I was like, something like we should... I totally lost my train. Oh, yeah.
The angry mob's trying you out.
We should make an effort to maybe get to know them. And he's like, did you learn Spanish? I'm like, I tried. I wasn't very good at it. And then, you know, the topic turns to... Well, we need to be better environmentally. Do you have solar panels on your house?
I know.
Like, well, they're $20,000 bucks. No, I was sorry.
I did that argument. Leonardo DiCaprio takes private planes. It's like so
Al Gore lives in a big house.
So if you believe in climate change, you're not allowed to travel or live in a house. So you want to go?
You can't heat your house.
If you want to go to Europe or anywhere really, you got to fly there. Generally,
Bernie Sanders owns a house on Lake Champlain. Like, okay, I forgot. Only conservatives are allowed to be wealthy. I forgot.
Ocasio-Cortez is wearing clothes.
So we're ending in turncoat style. Little gift of the morning,
like
guys.
A girl who's struggling. All right, John, a pleasure. We'll be together this week in the morning.
So and next week. It's going to be a little Christmas present for New England.
That's a treat not only for us, I mean, after Christmas to wake up at 4:30, but a treat for the people of New England, I would say.
I would agree.
All right. So thanks, John Anderson, behind the glass. Great, great job. We got some good football coming up here in EEI. Jets, Texans, a scouting opportunity for you Patriots people. Keep it here. See ya.
I'm not leaving.